Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I find today to be one of the more frustrating days for a Bay Area sports fan that I can remember in a long time. And I mean that because it's across the damn board.
Yeah.
It's across the board. It's not like, ooh, Giants lost in the playoffs last night, or ooh, the Niners got beat in the playoffs yesterday, or the Warriors got eliminated and Steph Curry's hurt. When there's one big thing, it's like, oof, gut punch. Okay, what else can we look to? You know, in Philadelphia, they're famous for serenading their teams. When those teams don't do well, they start chanting for the next team to play.
Let's right? go, in other Sixers. Words,
when the, exactly. Right. When the Phillies suck, let's go, Eagles. And they're telling their team, bleep you, you suck. We're going to move
We're
on to what's
with
next.
You, yeah.
What do I move on to today?
Well, you move on to a managerial search.
Oh.
You move on to more talk about the qualifying offer and Jonathan Kuminga. And you move on to calling local hospitals to see how many Niners are there. And the telltale of yesterday was Jennings gets absolutely Malachi crunched, for those of you who partake in Happy Days. Broken ribs, likely. He can't get into the blue tent because Ricky Pearsall's already there. So he's got to take a number and wait his turn
Amazing.
To go in the blue tent. They're going to be the only team with blue tent city. They're just going to have a string of blue tents
need
on
bigger
their sideline.
Tent. Yeah, we're going to get a bigger tent.
Second tent. We're going to need a...
I love your idea that the Niners blue tent is like a deli.
Totally.
You need one of them little red things sticking
17,
out the side.
17? Yeah. 17. yeah, I'd like the pastrami, please. This man has broken ribs, most likely. He can't even blue tentify. Because Ricky's in there with his PCL.
No, Juwan has looked like he can't breathe and beyond frustrated every time we've seen him, even going back to training camp. Contractual situation, shoulder, now it's ribs, everything that he's been through on a very, very young season.
He's, his injuries read like a deli. Like, he got the shoulder, like a pork shoulder.
Pork shoulder.
He got the ribs, beef ribs. Or
short ribs. Know.
Totally.
He's not very short, but
no.
Anyway. Yeah.
Ferocious.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it.
It's tough. 888-957-9570. How about, let's go to Kirk in Los Altos Hills. Hi, Kirk. Thanks for the call. What's good?
Hi, how are you? Yes, I want to share the frustration, obviously. I told my wife before the game that I can understand this team losing to Green Bay or Detroit or something like that, but if they lose here, I'm going to be very upset. And by the end of the day, I mean, I just thinking about them and the other two teams, yeah, the 49ers, you know, the only team with a velvet rope outside the blue tent. I think we're headed into a period here of real mediocrity, across throughout this area. With the aging of the teams, the lack of things coming up from below, and everything else involved. And so it's, happiness is where you set your level of expectations. And I think my suggestion is for the Bay Area that we better start thinking about setting our expectations a little bit lower, because I don't see anything bringing this group of three teams out of the morass anytime soon.
Well, Kirk, I mean, like, thanks, Kirk. That I can't argue with the thought process, but allow me to try. I understand where you're coming from, and I'm a big believer in trying to actually not let expectations guide you, because expectations are a projection. They are not reality at all. So I get where you're coming from there, but it also sounds very defeatist to me. And it also, to me, feels in some ways like letting these teams off the hook. Like, if I want good news from today, you want to know what the best news of today is? Buster Posey ain't messing around.
Yeah, fair enough.
That, I would look at it that way, which I like. I respect Bob Melvin. I get that it was not a good year for him. I predicted for most of the summer. Intel was telling me he was staying. I think that was kind of the thought until this latest losing streak as of 3 weeks ago. And then last week you could tell he was gone. You could just tell by the cadence of what they were doing. And but the good news for me is if you look at the way Buster Posey is approaching this, he is not messing around. Like, when in doubt, send it out. We're not accepting 81 and 81. So there's some sort of a silver lining there, but it's not for today.
Well, for me, if silver linings, if you want to go that route, the Niners are 3-1. So you're not in a morass of mediocrity when you're tied for first in your division. And they're allowed to go to L.A., Levi's South, and win and be 4-1 in the division and be 3-0 in intra-division games. That is on the table. So I'm not that down in the dumper across the board for the 49ers. Yesterday was frustrating. Jacksonville was messy. You were messier, but you started the season 3-1. I'm more concerned about the injuries than I am about the lack of pass rush. That will get better, or they will bring somebody in. I'm concerned about a Thursday game where your receivers might be Sky Moore and DeMarcus Robinson and Kendrick Bourne. That might be that might be your trio right there. And
I hadn't really thought about
whoever
it that
else
way.
You can elevate.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about Ricky playing with the PCL. He couldn't return. Juwan Jennings has a myriad of injuries. And we get more into the Ram game as we get closer to Thursday, but I'm more concerned about that.
I don't even know who the hell's throwing to them, whoever they are,
exactly.
By the way.
Yeah. Exactly. So the pass rush will figure itself out.
Eric in Walnut Creek. Hi, Eric. Thanks for the call. What you doing?
Did Brock Purdy play like his toe hurt, or did Brock Purdy play like he did all of last year? This is what we have. He is the same guy as last year. He's going to sail balls. What I call is duck fart throws. He's going to overthrow these guys. It's just the way that it is. And it's kind of like the Giants are the Niners or the Warriors. We're just living a world of bubble teams here. And the Giants just missed the playoffs by just a couple games, and the Niners are probably going to miss a wild card by a game. And it's just frustrating because, you know, Brock was special 2 years ago because he had two Swiss Army knives and doesn't have them anymore. And we're just kind of stuck with this. That's what I'm convinced of.
Yeah, Eric, let me see if I can. I bet I'll be unsuccessful, but I'm going to try to undo your thought about being stuck. Thank you very much for the phone call. Brock Purdy did not play poor football last year. That is a lazy and tired narrative based on the way their record ended up. I'm going to die on this hill if that's what it takes. The bottom line in the NFL is that the entire team plays football and the entire team needs to be functioning on some level for anybody on that team to play well. That's just the fact. Lamar Jackson is 1-3 this year. We have got to get over this idea that when bad things are happening to a team, that the quarterback puts a cape on and goes out there and saves the team. Because that's what $53 million says to you. It's just not accurate.
Well, he doesn't have to save the team.
No.
Yesterday, he sunk the team.
He played poorly just like the rest of the team.
He made mistakes at times where he didn't need to make mistakes. And to the caller's point,
that's not true about a bunch of
yesterday,
guys.
He is throwing the ball a little bit like last year where the ball is just taking a long time to get there. He's not ripping it. I don't know if it's the toe or I don't know what it is, but I see a lot of his passes that are in the air for a long, long time, and they're floating.
I'm going to separate yesterday from last year. Brock Purdy was not good yesterday. Brock Purdy also suffered a myriad of drops yesterday.
Yep.
Brock Purdy also does not have a run game right now for whatever reason. Brock Purdy does not have good play from his offensive line. Brock Purdy does not have a pass rush on the other end of the ball. So Brock Purdy's playing from behind. yes, he was bad yesterday.
Unnecessarily bad.
That's true. That's yesterday,
last
though.
Year,
I'm not going
to tie said that.
That
last year he was trying to do too much, and I saw yesterday a lot of that same thing, making throws that didn't need to be made.
That might be the case in some cases, sure. That's, and again, that's what I'm getting at. These things are all attached to one another. Why would he be making plays that he doesn't need to make? Would it be because he's down by 12 points? Because his special teams doesn't tackle? Would it be because on certain third down throws where he hit wide open receivers right in the hands, they dropped them? Like, I don't know. Again, this is not to excuse his play. It was poor yesterday. But you can bounce around the league, and I'll give you a bunch of examples of a 50-something million-dollar quarterback who didn't win a game. Jordan Love hasn't won one in 2 weeks. That didn't win a game because their team is not functioning well. The Niners were bad across the board yesterday, and I do not think that you have one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, but you got a very good one. I get a very good one.
Well, he's got to get back to playing like a very good one.
Right, but that is going to come. These things hold hands.
I totally get that.
He will play better if they play better, and they will play better if he plays better.
He has to play better on his own. And yesterday, the interception.
There is no on your own.
There is when there are guys who are open, and you are choosing to throw the ball into triple coverage. That's on you. You're the guy throwing the football, check the ball down.
And what about when you do hit those guys in the hands, and they drop it?
No doubt. No doubt.
I mean,
that happens, and that's every play. How about when you underthrow Ricky Pearsall by 8 yards and he bails you out with an amazing catch?
Absolutely.
You know,
no
you
question.
Juwan Jennings and the DeMarcus Robinson first catch as a Niner was
tremendous.
A ball that was way up in the air.
You will not have me say Brock Purdy was good yesterday.
No,
he
I'm not
was
trying
not.
To get you to that
he
spot.
He was not. But the bottom line is, if now you've arrived at this moment, and I'm not saying you are, but if any of you have arrived at this moment and decided that what the 49ers are suffering from is just horrific quarterback play, I'm not sure if you're watching all of the other players. I'm not sure if you're watching the entire game.
I don't think it's horrific quarterback play. The thing that I'm seeing, and this is mainly from yesterday, and it reminds me of last year, he's making mistakes with his head. And that's not what he did when he took him to the Super Bowl. When he came out, he was making the right throw on time. And now I'm seeing what I saw last year, which is he's trying to hold on to it and you're trying to make things happen. The McCaffrey interception, you didn't need to throw that. McCaffrey breaks late down the middle. That was going to be a very difficult throw.
Yep,
and you had some underneath that was open. Just take the underneath. Take 4 yards. It's okay. I think he's trying to do too much again.
Maybe. I also think that, and I'm not in his foot. I don't know how that thing feels, but I saw certain areas where Brock would either buy himself more time, or maybe instead of trying to huck that thing down the middle of the field for 20 yards, grab three. Let's grab 3 yards. Let's just
take off.
Just take off, and he wasn't doing it. And I can only guess that that's his foot, but I don't know. I don't know how that thing was feeling at what point in the game. We have the report that as of last night and this morning, he wasn't feeling very good.
Yeah.
So I don't know in game. Let's go to Frank in Fremont. Hi, Frank. What are you doing?
Hey, how we doing? I just wanted to say, man, I think on the Brock Purdy front, I think they just rushed him back this last game. I think we should have let the Mac Jones play or even Martinez and make sure Brock was ready for Thursday. I think Thursday was a way more important game than Sunday.
I know a lot of people feel that way, Frank. Appreciate it. I don't think it's a crazy thought. I the only way I can address it is the way I did in the crossover.
Right.
I have no idea what to say when it comes to player health because I don't know if Mac Jones could even walk. I really don't. He had an injury designation, so I don't know if he was healthy. The idea that they should have thrown in Adrian Martinez, I think it's interesting how many people want to go to him who have never even seen him play football. He might be awful, and I think you have to try to win football games. If the doctors clear you and you can play well or even mostly well, I have no problem with you going, and if you end up getting hurt in the game, welcome to the club. You know, so that's the way I look at it, but I get it. I get it. If you end up missing Thursday because of Sunday, I understand the frustration. I certainly do.
If they would have beaten Jacksonville and the same thing would happen and he wouldn't have been able to play on Thursday, you'd feel different. Mm-hmm. So you're frustrated because they didn't win and he potentially won't be able to play Thursday. We won't know for some time whether or not he'll actually be able to give it a go. And the thing that I'm still stuck on in this whole conversation is Mac Jones. Nobody knows how healthy or not healthy he is. He had to put a brace on in the week three game against Arizona just to make it through, and he was noticeably limping late in that game, and he wasn't going to be 100% yesterday anyway. So we can all play the percentage game. None of us really knows who was healthier, how close was it. If Brock was good enough to feel like he could go out there, he goes out there, and it's the same thing on Thursday.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he's in pain, but I don't know. My perception of NFL players on Monday is that they're in pain. Like, that, I think that's most of them.
Right. Christian McCaffrey, 23 touches yesterday.
Probably in a lot of pain.
He's in pain.
Probably in a lot of pain right now.
Yeah, they all are.
Juwan Jennings is in a tremendous amount of pain. I really do. I understand it. The Brock thing is super, super frustrating because Thursday is a very, very big game. But I don't know what the other great options were yesterday, and I'm not willing to just kick the game. Maybe this is unfair to Adrian Martinez. That's kind of what I feel like that is. Like, you've already won two games this year with a backup quarterback. That's incredible. How many games are you winning with a third-string quarterback in this league?
He was the UFL MVP, Mark.
Well, that's exciting.
I had to look that up. I don't watch a lot of UFL.
I don't even know what the hell the UFL is.
The United Football League.
Well, I mean, I get that.
I know. Right?
I figured what you stand for. I didn't think it stood for unorthodox.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But I, you know,
he's
what I mean?
He's never played a snap in the NFL in the regular season.
You're not wrong if you think, I guess, Brock shouldn't have played yesterday. I just don't. That's me. I don't know how to have an opinion about health and who's supposed to play. I don't know how to do that. I can't feel
like none of us can.
I have
honestly
no clue.
Anybody who says that he shouldn't have played, then you should be in the medical room. You should be on site to see the injury for yourself. All we know is that he had turf toe, whatever that means, and I guess it's kind of a variant of turf toe, and he sat out a couple of games, and he sure looked okay at practice, so go ahead and play him. It's football. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Well,
he's probably going to get hurt.
Even though he played, and we can all look at it and go, by the way, do we know what toe yet? Do we know if it's the right toe or the left? We don't even know. Like, I'm going to assume it's the right toe, because everyone's talking about, like, that's your push-off foot. And I mean, is that what's causing high balls, floating balls? I have no idea. But it's not like he was out there gimpy. You know what I mean? He can move. I do know that, as you just pointed out, the last time I saw Mac Jones play, he had to dive in order to hand the ball off.
Yep. Yeah.
So I don't know what kind of, you know, ability he would have had to play a football game yesterday.
Yeah, he maybe had no ability to play.
If
something happened to Brock in the game and he couldn't continue and Mac goes in there, Adrian Martinez would immediately suit up as the emergency third. That way he'd be at least ready. So you're not in a great...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spot right now with Brock in the toe, Mac in the knee, and a game on Thursday. So you go into it and you figure who's in the best shape to maybe help us go down there and get a win, which might be the toughest game you have all year.
Well, and we thought it was.
Right.
We thought it was. And now it's maybe even tougher than we thought. Right? Here's the other good news. The NFL will surprise you every Sunday, right?
Oh, yeah.
Surprise you every Sunday. The Giants beat the Chargers with a quarterback who'd never played before. Like, it'll surprise you every Sunday. So I get it. Right now, in this moment, on paper, the Niners are going to get their doors blown off on Thursday.
You think?
On paper.
Oh, yeah, paper.
On paper.
Sure.
Don't you think? Like,
I'll let you know on Thursday.
Right. I know the pick's not in yet, but like, I think of the scenario at least if you go to Negativeville, right? Brock's not healthy, can't play. Mac plays, but he's only half speed or whatever. And Juwan doesn't play, and Ricky doesn't play, and we know George isn't back, and obviously Nick is gone for the year, and the pass rush still keeps getting stonewalled all the time. And oh, by the way, the Rams are pretty healthy, and they're good. They're good. So add all that up, and you're like, oh my God, the Niners are going to get their teeth kicked in. But it's the NFL. It's the NFL, and every single one of these games tends to look different every single week. I mean, I don't know. Like, I pick all those games just without spread.
Right.
I didn't even look. I don't know if I got more than like three right yesterday. It's unbelievable how different this looks week to week.
Every week, so, yeah.
I don't know what the hell Thursday is going to happen. Maybe the Niners will go out there and win by three touchdowns.
And if you think
what the hell were the Cowboys doing last night? Where the bleep did that come from?
Right. I mean, all of a sudden, the offense has been good, but they were able to just fight back so many different times in that game. The early spread for this game, Niners-Rams, is only 4.5. So if you think they're going to get their doors blown off, well, that's Buffalo-New Orleans, and that game surprised you, too.
Yep,
New
Orleans, cover.
No, they hung in, too. They hung in late in that game.
They did. They had the ball, only down by like 5.
Yep.
Couldn't go anywhere. But, yeah, I will say this. The Niner-Ram look-ahead line was Rams by 3.
Yep.
And these scenarios that have played out have knocked it up 1.5 already.
Right, so and it could go higher depending on availabilities and whatnot. But short week for both. Don't think that the Rams also aren't going to be really sore after playing a very tough game against Indianapolis.
No doubt. Devontae Adams was questionable going into that one, and Puka Nacua is a battering ram, and Kyren Williams didn't play great yesterday. I don't know. Tom in Alamo. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling. What you got?
Well, I was just thinking, yeah, really tough game for Purdy. I mean, he threw for 309 yards. But the real problem here is special teams. They lost a game by 5 points. They gave up an 87-yard return for a touchdown. There's your difference in the game. Not to mention a 54-yarder at the end of the half that led to a field goal. That's 10 points on special teams alone. Without that, they win the game despite having 4 turnovers. And not turning them over at all. So this game, as rough as it was right there for the winning. Just special teams has a problem, and I don't know if it's going to get fixed this year.
I don't know if it's going to get fixed any year. Tom, thank you. When is it ever going to get fixed?
I thought we were on the way to Fixville last week. I thought they had a pretty good game. I can't remember the Grandy's grade, but it was at least a C plus maybe for special teams, which is unheard of in these parts.
I'll check. Give me a sec.
Last week, I know you already did the ones from yesterday, and I glanced at it. I think our station sends them out on Instagram, and I looked, and I was like, ooh, it's like my initial. It's popping up a lot on that one.
Yeah.
A lot of double D's in there.
Last week for the Cardinals game, I gave special teams a B+, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the punts were good, and Morstead with a big punt yesterday, but you got to tackle the guy who catches it, I'm being told.
Do.
Spoiler
you
alert,
do.
Tomorrow, Grandy grades. Special teams got a worse grade yesterday.
Oh, there you go. Call the T's, people.
I may just
no B+, huh?
I might go get coffee when you do grades and just mark me down for an F for everything.
Sounds good.
F's ahoy.
Yeah. I'm going to call it F-rything.
Oh,
that's it.
That's a 4. I like that. It's pretty good.
Who got better than enough?
Oh, the front seven. I mean, the front seven.
The front seven?
You can look at the guys, pass rush.
The guys who locked arms with the offensive linemen and then just spoke to them for 10
Fred
seconds?
Warner with a couple of pass breakups, D-winners as well. Those things actually matter. And you look at team that only gave up 250 total yards of offense.
Jeez.
Yeah, I think you're being a little too reactionary with the defense.
No, I mean, like I said, they didn't touch Trevor Lawrence the whole game. What's the front seven supposed to do? Well, go get the quarterback. And his uniform is clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.